Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. I want to talk to you today about the giants in your life. What is it that's just overwhelming to you? You just feel like you can't move forward in your life. It's so big that it's hard to even get out of bed sometimes in the morning. Or if you do that, it's just constantly on your mind throughout the day, when you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night. I mean, it's just overwhelming. And I want to base it off a passage of scripture that I know a lot of people are familiar with, but maybe you're not. Maybe you've never been to church. And glad that you tuned in today on Hope Is Here, whether you're listening live on the radio or through one of our podcasts that have had over 10,000 downloaded here in only 10 months. Thank you so much for people that are listening and sharing those podcasts. You can go to our website, hopeishere.today, and hear those anytime. Or if you want to make a donation to help us with this ministry, we would really, really appreciate that. You can also go to the website, hopeishere.today, and click on the donate button. Or if you prefer to mail a check, I'm old school, I do that a lot still. The mailing address for our ministry is there, and you can write a check, and all donations are tax deductible. So let me share the passage just in case maybe you've never heard it before, or you know, just want to be back in God's word for a few minutes today, getting a little spiritual food. First Samuel in the Old Testament, one of the first books in the Old Testament, chapter 17. It's verses 1 through 52, but obviously I'm not going to read all that. We don't have time for that, but I'm going to look at verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now the Philistines had gathered their forces for war. They occupied one hill, and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath from Gath came out of the Philistine camp. He was a giant of a man, over 9 feet tall, wearing a huge bronze helmet and a coat of bronze armor that weighed over 125 pounds. Just his coat now. My goodness. He also wore bronze leggings and slung a huge bronze javelin over his back. The iron spearhead alone weighed 15 pounds, and a soldier with a large shield always walked in front of the giant Goliath." That's in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. Obviously, people were afraid of him. He was just destroying people, and they were just overwhelmed. The people did not know what to do. And yet, I tell you, as I have spent time with God over my years and through my life experiences, there's some lessons sometimes that I think that I've learned, and maybe it'll help you today in facing some of the giants in your life. You know, as hard as it is, if we face our giants, it's amazing what can happen. And of course, if you read the rest of the story, you remember that David killed Goliath with a slingshot. And you know, you remember he just had a few stones that he was able to go with him, but he was able to kill him with a slingshot and a stone. And so I want to share four things that have really taught me a lot on this passage of scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 17, about David and Goliath. First, I want to talk to you that sometimes the giants aren't as powerful as they may seem. You know, we've all thought sometimes this person's just overwhelming, but I've learned a lot of times if you have a conversation with people that come across as overwhelming, you know, there may be not as much bite as there is with their bark. You know, they bark a lot, but if you come to them in humility and are prepared and just say, "Hey, I want to talk to you about the situation," and obviously the key words are saying, you know, "You may not have meant it this way, but this is how I received it. You know, am I wrong?" You take ownership in it. But, you know, we don't want to have that difficult conversation with somebody, and it becomes a giant. We dread seeing that person. So one of two things: either one, you've got to give it to the Lord and just say, "Okay, God, I understand why this happened, and I'm just going to lay this at the foot of the cross and just move forward with my life." The challenge with that a lot of times, though, is too many times, at least in my life, and I've tried to do it that way, it winds up that I pick it back up. You know, I go back and rewind the tape, as the old saying goes. And as I've shared many times, a good friend of my mom's shared with her one time, you know, it's okay to go back and visit an old wound, a situation happened in your life, but don't set up camp there. And for a lot of you, set up camp there at a wound that's happened, and today's the day that you got to take down the camp. You got to pour the water on the fire, take down the tent, the stakes, load up, and say, yeah, that was painful, it hurt, but it's been a giant in my life for too long. And the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. I shall be glad and rejoice in it and choose to move forward. I love that, you know, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it's a verse that I actually have up on the wall in my house. I got somebody to paint the scripture for me because it's such a powerful verse talking to us about what we can learn when we sit there and put things behind, just like I was talking about there. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." I'll say it again. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. One thing I do, not two things, not ten things, just one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. That is a huge verse. Some of you need to write that on a post-it note. I have at times in my life, I've got it painted on a nice canvas in my room. As I get ready to head out to the garage to get my car every morning, I can see that, and it reminds me, whether it was good or bad, but especially the bad stuff, the divorce, bankruptcy, the flood, all things happened in my life, you know what, I got to put those behind me. But the one thing I can do today is I can strain toward what is ahead. And I love that Bible is so descriptive. It says forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And trust me, the enemy doesn't want you to do that. You may make this decision and two other things that are painful may happen to you within the same day or the same hour even. That's why it says straining toward what is ahead. But you know that you're not alone. The Bible promises that God would never leave us. He would never forsake us. And so the fact of the matter is you can trust God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, that helped me going through some of the darkest times in my life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I got to ask you, what area of your life is it that maybe you're not acknowledging God with? You know, yeah, you go Sunday morning, church, you listen maybe even to some podcast during the week. You're a person that tithes, you give 10%. And then even above and beyond that, you sponsor a child with Compassion International. You know, there's a lot of great things like that. But at the end of the day, maybe there's some way in your life, some area that you're not giving to God. And I love it in John chapter 3, verse 30. John the Baptist, who was baptizing people and telling people, you know, that they need to repent and turn to God. And then Jesus showed up on the scene and they were kind of getting confused because John the Baptist was kind of the man there for a while, and they just said, hey, John, who do we follow? Do we follow you or Jesus? And John did what God asked us to. He was humble. He said, you know what, I must decrease and Jesus must increase. He said, I must decrease and he must increase, talking about Jesus. Today, somebody I know listening needs to hear that. You need to decrease and Jesus needs to increase. Maybe it's in your marriage. You know, it's not all about you. Yes, you've had wounds, but you know what? I'm sure your spouse has been wounded too. Maybe it's a coworker that, you know, has wounded you or offended you. And you know what? They're not a follower of Jesus, but they know you go to church and you've got the Jesus bumper sticker on your car. You wear a cross necklace. Yet they know that you don't like them. And I want to encourage you to start praying for them. That's one of the biggest signs of maturity as a follower of Christ, is when you can pray for those who persecute you or have done it in the past and may not currently be doing it. And I'm in the slow class. I couldn't really start doing that. I'd heard that verse off and on throughout my life. But one day my dad challenged me to do it with a gentleman that was an elder at one of the churches where I was a pastor at. And it was amazing how God did a real healing about a year later. So didn't happen at first. Didn't happen easily or quickly. And in fact, as I share with you in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, that you are sitting there looking at what is ahead. You're straining, forgetting what is behind, and straining toward what is ahead. So that straining part, there's days I didn't feel like praying for that guy that had persecuted me. But I asked God to bless him and his family and his children and his grandchildren, his business. I mean, health, finances, relationships. But it was amazing how God softened my heart. And so that may be the giant in your life is unforgiveness or bitterness. And there's so many of them out there that Satan knows what buttons to push with you. One of the things as followers of Jesus, I think we get offended too easily. Man, Satan knows what buttons to push. We all struggle with pride a little bit. And you may think you don't, and you may not care what car you drive or whatever, but if, you know, somebody doesn't notice that you work out all the time or they don't compliment, you know, you get a new outfit or something, people don't compliment it, then all of a sudden you're insecure, or somebody doesn't send you a thank you note, even though, yes, that's the proper thing to do, and you got them a wedding gift or a birthday gift, whatever it is. You know, do you give to be a blessing, or do you give with expectations? Now, don't get me wrong, I want to encourage you today, if you need to send a thank you note to somebody and you still haven't sent, at least text them and say, hey, you know, I apologize, I've not gotten a handwritten thank you note to you yet, but I just want to show how much I really, really appreciated the gift. Phone call be great, or maybe even try to grab coffee, or just say, I'm getting that note done today, and get it out as you're listening. If you're listening at home and or at your office and you're listening through a podcast or listening online, then, you know, it'd be a great time to go on and do that. But we get offended so easily, and that becomes a giant. We don't realize it, but that can actually become a giant in our life. Yet they really aren't as powerful as they seem when we're willing to address them in our lives. And so I want to encourage you today, we get done here in about a minute and a half, that you're going to just say, Lord, what are the giants in my life? And, you know, maybe just write down three. There may be 10 of them, but just write down three and just say, okay, God, I want to address all three of these areas in my life. Start with the first one and just write out what you're going to do to address that giant. Maybe it's you want to lose weight, so I'm going to meet with somebody that I have a lot of respect for that eats healthy and maybe exercise regularly and just talk to them about how they do it and see if they could maybe show me a simple workout plan. You know, I've got lots of friends that are trying to help me with that, and I'm very blessed. And, you know, part of the giant's just facing it. And I've struggled with my weight over the last few years, had in the first 48 years of my life, but the last three or four, I really have. And it's on me. No anybody to blame but me. Yet I've been trying to face that giant, and I've lost about 15 pounds over the past 4 months, but then I've embraced some success. And I'm meeting back with a friend of mine later this week to try to get refocused and on track. And so I want to face that giant, because I know it's not God honoring. It's not being in vain, which, yes, I care about what I look like, but it's taking care of my body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, where Jesus lives inside of us. And I want to be around for a long time. And my dad had a heart attack, and he was 49. And then he died because he had to have another bypass surgery, a triple bypass, when he was 49. And at 74, he had to go back in, which is still a really, really good life, 25 more years. But when he came out of the surgery, we were going to be able to see him. And then about 15 minutes later, they called us from the operating room, or I guess the recovery room, should I say, and said his heart was out of rhythm. We need to come back upstairs from the cafeteria. And then a few minutes later, he was dead because his heart went out of rhythm. So it was a heart issue. So I don't want the enemy to take me out. So I'm trying to do a better job with that giant. Well, stay with us. Tomorrow we'll talk more about facing giants. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope is Here.